Praise God. Praise God. If you have your Bible, 2 Samuel chapter 16. 2 Samuel chapter 16, verse number 5. Amen. Thank God for that. Thank God for His Spirit today. Thank God for what He's doing in this house. And thank God for air conditioning. Hallelujah. Amen. Feels good in here. 2 Samuel chapter 16, verse number 5. Bible says, "And when King David came to Berhim, behold, there came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei." Somebody say Shimei. That just sounds good. Just kind of rolls off the tongue. Shimei. Maybe name your next kid or grandkid Shimei. "The son of Gera, he came forth and cursed." Still, make sure he doesn't curse though. "Cursed still as he came. And he cast stones at David and all the servants of King David. And all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, 'Come out, thou bloody man and thou man of Belial. The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned, and the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom thy son. And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man.'" Amen. Turn to that person next to you and say, "You know what? We got to love people, as people are pitiful and we be people." God bless you. May be seated today. Amen. I'm going to tell you, there's always going to be somebody in your life. There's always going to be somebody that'll come up to you and say something that's hurtful, say something that should not have been said. And there are words that are hurt. And we can't be like Peter when he grabbed that sword and began to thrust it and kill that or slice off that ear. The Lord says we don't fight by the flesh, but we fight by the Spirit. We've got to learn to love people. And I've got to learn to love people. And you've got to learn to love people. Bible says, how can we love those whom we have seen and love God who we have not seen? He calls them a liar. So we've got to learn to love people, not people that are nice to us. We've got to learn to love people that are not nice to us. Bible says, "Love thy enemies. Pray for those that hurt you. Pray for those that mistreat and abuse you." So we've got to learn our slogan, and that's loving people. So turn again to that person and say, "You've got to learn that theme, that vision of our church. You got to love people." Amen. 2 Samuel chapter 16. We really find, if you read in chapter 16 of 2 Samuel, you're going to find that David's house is in a mess. You think your house is in a mess, you read 2 Samuel. Something about reading somebody else's junk makes you feel a little better. You're like, wow, their drama's bigger than my drama. It's not that bad in my home. You read 2 Samuel chapter 16. You'll find out that David's mess is a lot bigger than your mess, because you think your mess is, there's no way out, but there is a way out. But listen to this. In David's house, and you read chapter 16, we find that Amnon defiles Tamar. And we find that Absalom kills Amnon, his brother, David's son, and flees. And 3 years Absalom was gone, and David longed to go to him. Even though Absalom killed his brother, killed David's son, David still loved his boy. Something about a daddy's love, something about a parent's love. Even though your kids may not always do what you ask them to do, you still love them. Right? You tell them, "Don't put your hand on the hot stove." And they put their hand on the hot stove. And you still love them. You say, "Get out of that cookie jar. Put that cookie down." And you still love them. Why? Because you're a parent. And David still longed to go to Absalom. And there's something about his love. And David let his son Absalom, though, after he killed his boy, killed his brother, David lets Absalom come home. But you notice that something got inside of Absalom. It was a poison. It was a spirit. There's something about disobedience. The Bible classifies disobedience is as the sin as witchcraft. Now, moms and dads, I know we get upset when our kids make a mistake, but we don't need to break out the belt when they make a mistake. But we do need to break out the belt when they disobey. Because when they disobey, they bring a spirit of witchcraft, a spirit of rebellion. And that's why the Lord said, you spare the rod, you spoil the child. I do not believe in becoming the terminator and terminating your kid. But I do believe in taking some of those spirits out of your house. Because you have a happy home and you don't want to mess up a happy home. But you get disobedience living inside of your home, it will mess up your happy home. So David said, Absalom, you come home. But Absalom had a spirit on him. It was a poison. And the poison was he desired not his father. Because he said, Dad, I just want to come home and see you. But you read it in chapter 16, that wasn't the case. He didn't desire daddy. He desired the throne of his dad. And he would arise early and stand beside the way of the gate. And anybody that would come for the king for a matter, Absalom was there. And he would say, your case is good and your case is right, but there's no deputy of the king to hear you. Oh, that I were made judge in the land. I would bring justice to Israel. And so the Bible said that Absalom, as he stood by the way of that gate, the Bible said that Absalom stole the hearts of the people. And so it was that he went to his father and said, please send me to Hebron so I can serve the Lord. And David says, go ahead, Absalom, do what your heart's desire. And so Absalom sent spies to the tribes of Israel saying, as soon as you hear the trumpet of the sound of the trumpet, you shall say, Absalom reigns in Hebron. What about serving the Lord? What about you telling daddy you wanted to go to Hebron to serve the Lord? He wasn't serving the Lord. Absalom wanted to serve Absalom. Why? Because he had a desire for the throne. He had a desire for the power. And David's house was in a mess. And the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased around Absalom. And David's servant came to him and said, the hearts of the men of Israel are with Absalom, your son now. And David lifts up his voice and says, we must flee now, for we shall not escape from Absalom if we stay here. I don't want Absalom to bring evil upon this city. David had a heart for the city. David loved the city. And David said, I can't stand here, because if Absalom comes, he'll destroy this city with a sword. And so we find daddy running away from his son Absalom. And the Bible says, and all the country wept with a loud voice. The house of David, you think your house is messed up? The house of David was out of control. And we find David going through a city called Bahurim. And in 2 Samuel chapter 16, verse 5, the Bible says, and behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, and the son of Gera. And he came forth and he cursed still as he came. The closer Shimei came, the louder his curses was heard. He cursed David without any fear of his life. He began to curse the king. And in verse 6, not only did he begin to curse the king, Bible says, and he cast stones at David. And all the servants of the King David and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right and hand and on his left. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man, thou man of Belial. He says that to the king. King David leaves because his house was in a mess. You talk about a man that, or an individual that has just put up with junk. You know what I'm talking about? Pressures of life, and you want to just kind of get away from the pressures. And then all of a sudden, David finds himself running from pressure into a place where a guy is cursing him and throwing stones at him. I mean, this guy began to speak words of disrespect, words of venom, words of poison, and he began to speak and curse David, calling David a bloody man, a man of war, a man that killed innocent people, calling him a man of Belial, which is an ungodly and wicked individual, a man of the devil and not of God. And he went on to say in verse number 8, and the Lord hath returned. Here's why, David. This is why your house is in a mess. He had the audacity to say, the Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul that you took David, in whose stead thou hast reigned. You should have never taken Saul's seat, but this is the reason. And the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom thy son. And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief because thou art a bloody man. He was calling David out, cursing him and letting him know that the kingdom's no longer yours, but the kingdom is now Absalom's, and it's because of your own mischief. And then one of David's mighty men speaks up. Thank God for mighty men. Thank God for men that are loyal. When somebody else is talking junk and somebody else is rising up, thank God for others that'll stand up and say, you know what? You ain't gonna talk about them like that. You're not going to disrespect them like that. I remember it was a few months ago, and I was doing my chaplain duty, and we were we took this guy and we put him into booking, and what, before that, another thing happened like that too. I think I told you, Brother Martin, that this guy, well, you know, he was cursing all the police officers, and I mean, he was ugly. He was just and just the every word of his mouth was just venom. And he looks at me and he goes, "And who are you?" I go, "I'm just the chaplain." And he goes, "Oh," and it's like a switch hit. And he started crying. He was like, "Ooh, I shouldn't be here." He started stuttering. He goes, I'm a man of the Lord too. And I was like, "Well, you should change the things you do." But this other guy, same scenario. He was in there and he was cussing and he was telling, he said, "If you get me out of here, man, I'll beat all of you guys up." He looked at me and said, "And who are you?" And again, I said, "I'm just the chaplain. I don't know why everybody wants to call me out. I didn't do nothing. I smiled and minded my own, but I didn't talk to anybody. I was just back there." And he goes, "Who are you?" And I said, "Just the chaplain." And all of a sudden, man, he flipped another crazy switch. He went into full gear going, I'll beat you up. And I mean, he said some choice words. It was like crazy. And then one of the other officers, he goes, "Yeah, you ain't going to do that." And so he grabbed that guy, threw him in solitary confinement. He says, "You ain't going to talk to my man of God like that." I didn't have to fight. I didn't say nothing. And that's what these mighty men of David's did. They said, "This ain't going to happen." The Bible said in verse 9, "Then said Abishai the son of Zeruiah unto the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over there, I pray thee. Just say the word, king. I will go over there and I'll take off his head." What he was saying was, "King, let me at him. Let me take him out. Let me go over there and I'll shut him up. I will take off his head." I guarantee you David thought about that, but David didn't want to do that. But this man said, "He ain't going to talk to you like that. He ain't going to disrespect you. You're my king. You're my man. And he ain't going to do that. Let me take him out for you, king. Thank God for that." He said, "It'll be my pleasure." "Brother Roy, let me sick him. You just snap your finger. I'll run over there." But David's mighty man that was, thank God for that. But David began to realize that we don't fight that way. And David said, "You know what? We can't go down that road. We're not built that way. And you've got to understand that we don't fight this through the flesh, even though sometimes there are people that will rub us the wrong way. There'll be people that'll say stuff and do stuff that'll just, like a volcano, you'll want to erupt." But David said, we can't fight like that. We can't fight after the flesh. We've got to fight this in the spirit because we're not built that way. Because when you let that volcano erupt and you start throwing out what they throw out, then all of a sudden it becomes a bigger mess. And David said, we're not going to fight like that. So you got to realize this. He looks at his men. He said, you've got to realize that this Shemaiah guy, you're calling a dead dog. He's saying all this stuff. You've got to realize hurting people hurt others. And this guy's hurting. And we can't take him out, even though we want to take him out. And there are people in your life that are mean to you. There are people in your life that have said things that you wish to God you could just shut that up. You wish to God you could take that out, because not only is some of it false, but some of it's true. And you don't like them bringing up your past. Because in reality, David was a bloody man. He fought a lot of battles. He spilled a lot of blood. And this man was partially right. David said, we can't fight like this. Thank God for your loyalty. Thank God for you wanting to stick up for me. Thank God for you wanting to take him out for me. But listen to me, you sons of Zariah, we're not going to fight that way. Looks at them in verse number 10, and he says, the king says, what have I to do with you, sons of Zariah? Let him curse, because the Lord has said unto him, curse David. And who shall then say, wherefore hast thou done so? He looks at his mighty men. He said, men, you've got to stand back. I know you're in pain. I know you're hurting. I know this does not make sense. I know that these words bring back haunting memories, but you understand this, that we're not going to go down that road. We're not going to try to justify ourselves by their behaviors. Well, they did it, therefore I can do it. No, that's not how we're built. Well, they posted that. I'm going to fire back. No, that's not how we are built. Jesus said, love your enemies. Do good to those that hurt you, that mistreat you, that abuse you. He didn't say love those that love you, love those that are already giving to you. He said, love those that hurt you. And what I'm preaching about today, it's not easy. You understand that today? It's not easy, because you want to fire back. You want an eye for an eye. You want a tooth for a tooth. But the Lord says, we don't fight the kingdom that way. We don't fight the kingdom through the flesh, but we fight it through the Spirit. If somebody's up in your grill and somebody's making you cause you to break those fuse and let that volcano erupt, you've got to have a spiritual timeout. You got to say, hold on, because my flesh wants to take your head off. I've got to have a timeout. I've got to go ahead here and have a little me and Jesus time. Anybody know what I'm talking about? God, you got to get me straight. God, you got to help me. God, I want to take their head off. God, my flesh wants to shut them up. God, you've got to help me. You begin to pray those prayers. He begins to bring to your remembrance everything that he went through. Everything that he endured, everything that he encountered. You think you're the only one that someone's talked about you? You think you're the only one that's been falsely accused? There was the God of glory on the cross. Everybody around saying, crucify, stone him. He's worthy of death. And yet there was a God that took every word, that took every stripe, that took every spit, every ridicule. He took it upon himself. He looked at them and he said those wonderful words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I'm going to tell you, you can't change the past. You can't change yesterday, but you can change today. You may have reacted differently yesterday, but you can react differently today. You can say, today is a new day, and I'm going to break that chain. I'm going to break that addiction. I'm going to break that anger, and I'm going to reach up to a Savior that can help me. Pray for those that have hurt me. Pray for those that have mistreated me. And help me, God, to give me the power to forgive. I had somebody sit in my office a few months ago and said, Pastor, how can I forgive this person? How can I forgive this individual? How can I do it? I said, you forgive the way God forgives. You love the way God forgives. Well, how did God forgive? He gave his life. He gave everything that he had. He says, forgive 70 times seven in a day. You've got to learn to forgive, because if you don't forgive, God can't forgive you. Forgive me as I forgive others. I'm telling you, what you give out is what God's going to bring back. You're going to reap what you have sowed out. God, help me to sow out kindness. Help me to sow out love. Help me, God, to share forgiveness. Help me, God, to give mercy, because there's coming a day that I'm going to need mercy. There is coming a day that I'm going to need forgiveness. There is coming a day I need somebody to love me. If I haven't given out, it can't come back to me. And David looks at his men and says, I know it's not easy. I know it's tough. I know it's difficult, but you men, let him curse me, because I have caused pain. I have caused discomfort from my own past decisions. You sons of pain, leave him alone, because hurting people, they hurt others. And they don't even know they're doing it. Some of you are wondering, why do they act that way? Why do they respond? Because they don't love themselves. And there's some pains and there's some issues. Forget about the face that's involved. There's a spirit that's attached. And that spirit is hurt. You've got to look at yourself in that mirror, and you've got to come face to face that hurt, and you've got to say, hurt, I forgive you. Hurt, I'm going to let it go. Hurt, I'm going to love. Hurt, I'm going to pray for you. Hurt, I'm going to forgive you and let it go. David said, let him curse, for God put him in my way to curse me. What a thing for David to say. In verse 11, David said to Abishai and all his servants, behold, my son, which came forth of my bowels, seeketh my life. My boy that I brought into this world, he seeks my life. How much more now may this Benjamite do it? Let him alone. Let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him to do so. Because it may be, verse 12, it may be that because of this, because of the junk, because of the hurtful words, it may be that the Lord will look upon mine afflictions, that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day. It may be that he'll look upon me. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll pick up the weapon of love and I'll take it. I may not understand it. It may not feel good. It may not make sense, but I'm going to fight with love. I'm not going to satisfy my flesh and get revenge. I'm going to follow after the Spirit, and I'm going to love him. Let him curse. That is my weapon. That is my arsenal. It is L-O-V-E. It's the only thing I truly have. And I'm going to make up my mind. I'm going to love him in spite of what he does. It's love as the world's weapons is eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. You talk about my mama, I'm going to talk about your mama. But not this way. We pick up love because we need to love people. Can I tell you, we may never agree with them. We may never understand them. We may never understand what makes them tick. But when they begin to curse and throw stones, and they will, you mark it down, whether it's a friend, whether it's a family member, whether it's someone you don't even know. They say this, that the people that hurt you the most are the ones that are closest to you. And before you pick up that stone to throw back, you've got to learn to pick up love. You got to love people. If they hurt you, you got to love them. If they disappoint you, you got to love them. If they cause you pain, you've got to love them. Why? Because John 13, 35 says, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, is that you have love one to another. John even goes on and says it this way in the fourth chapter, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. I don't know about you today, but I want to know God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God. You say, well, I can't love that person. Well, you don't know God. He says, you've got to love them. Why? Because God is love. And that's what hurting people need. They don't need your words. Sometimes the best thing you could do is you could lock up that red devil behind those white pearly gates and you could bite that tongue. That's the best thing you could ever do. And then when they're done, you just say, you know what? I'm sorry if I've hurt you. I'm sorry if I've offended you. Would you come to church with me? Would you? I'm sorry. I need this. When you start, you say, well, Pastor, they don't deserve for me to say, yeah, you deserve it. You deserve to get out of that prison cell. You deserve to get out of that bondage. You got to break those chains. Well, you don't know what they said. Yes, I don't, may not know everything they said, but I'm telling you, there is a God that wants to set you free. And you're the only one that can set yourself free. Verse 9 says, and this was manifest the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. You realize that? God loved you before you loved him. Because he loved you, you can love. You can't love without having God. You've got to get God, to get real love. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. We need to love one another. God, I pray this morning that we all get a new, fresh baptism of love. New, fresh baptism of mercy. Because you're the one that deserves to be set free. And the moment you hold it in, the moment you say, I'm not going to do it, it brings up so much hurt and pain. The moment you say no is the moment you get locked up. But the moment you let it go and say, you know what, I know the hurts are deep and I know the wounds bring up bitter past of that, but I'm telling you, I'm going to let it out today and I'm going to embrace them and I'm going to love them and I'm going to pray for them. There is the signal of you loving and forgiving when you pray, God, I want you to bless them. God, I want you to cover them. God, I want you to saturate them. God, I want you to save them. You start praying that, then all heaven begins to take notice. I've got to hurry. After the death of Absalom, David begins to weep for his son. Isn't that crazy? Absalom was looking to kill dad. And somebody takes off Absalom's head. And David began to weep. Even though Absalom caused David pain, David still loved him. And we find David meeting Shimei again. In verse number 18, and there went over a ferry boat to carry over the king's household and to do what he thought good. And Shimei, the son of Gera, fell down now before the king as he was come over Jordan and said to the king, let not my Lord, he's trying to get back now in the good graces. He said, let not my Lord impute iniquity upon me, neither do thou remember that which thy servant did perversely the day that my Lord, the king, went out of Jerusalem, that the king should take it to his heart. For thy servant doth know that I have sinned, I've messed up, and before thee, behold, Behold, I come the first of this day of all the house of Joseph to go down to meet my lord the king. And Abishai the son of Zeruiah answered and said, shall not Shemaiah be put to death for this, because he cursed the Lord's anointed? His mighty men could not let it go. David says again in verse 22, what have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah, you sons of pain? Would you just get over it? Don't let your pain control your destiny, that ye should this day, the adversaries unto me, there shall there any man be put to death this day in Israel? For do I not know that I am this day king over Israel? Therefore the king said unto Shimei, thou shall not die. David could have said, you know what? Today's your day, baby. It's gone. Take it. I thank God that you're not God. You know what I'm saying? Because if you're God, you're like, take him out, take her out. She got to go. Thank God for that. And here it is. I can't put anybody in heaven, and you can't put anybody in heaven. Only God can. And God, whoever God saves, it's his business, right? But you're like, well, he ain't going to make it to heaven. You know what? I don't do that. But even the funerals that I officiated, I don't put anybody in heaven and I don't put anybody in hell because I don't want to. That's not my job. My job is to make sure my heart and my spirit is right. My job is to work out my own salvation with fear and trembling. My job is to make sure that Daddy is happy with me. Let him work out all the other junk. I already got gray hair. I don't want to lose any more hair. Hallelujah. David shows love to Shimei. Come on, brother Ramos. Shimei's name, if you look up the meaning of Shimei's name, it means my reputation. And when my reputation met pain, David showed love. See, pain was meeting reputation. Shimei's name, reputation. And he meant to cause David pain. And David says, you know what? Tarnish my reputation. Tarnish my name if you want. I'm going to show you love. And you'll never go wrong in showing love. And again, I remember my sister-in-law, she brought, I forgot who she brought, but it was a guy that was on a Wednesday night. And I taught on forgiveness. And I taught on love because I believe we ought to love. And it was funny, he came up to me after service. He said, man, I enjoyed that message. I was like, well, thanks. But notice when someone wants to give you a compliment and they say, but. So it just kind of omits and deletes what they just said. But I don't agree with it. How could you like it? He said, I just don't agree with it. And I said, what didn't you agree with? He said, well, I can love people, but I can't forgive people. I can't forgive those that haven't asked for forgiveness. I can't forgive people that have hurt me. And I said, well, you know what? If you can't, you're the prisoner. Because you should never let anybody lock you up in a prison cell for what they did. You know what I'm saying? We got too many people that are locked up because of what happened in their past, because of somebody else. Ain't nobody got time for that. I ain't got time for anybody locking me up. I got enough to deal with me. I'm a big problem and a lot of stuff, but I don't want anybody else putting me in there. Whether they deserve it, whether they don't, I'm gonna love them and I'm gonna let God take care of it. I think in his word somewhere, Sister Lupita, says, vengeance is mine, thus saith the Lord. You let God handle it, and God will take care of it. As I know that I was taught many, many years ago, Bishop Kenneth Haney, when he was living, he'd always say, you know what, people are always going to throw mud at you. They're always going to pick up and throw dirt at you. He said, but the moment you pick up that dirt and throw it back is the moment you're still get become dirty. Let the dirt and the mud stay down. Because time will always reveal who was right and who was wrong. You keep your heart right. You keep your spirit right. You learn to love people. And God begins to bring things back together. You say, Pastor, it's hard. It's tough. Well, I'm telling you, it is tough. But it's not your way. It's the kingdom way. That's why we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. If you start getting the kingdom right and you start loving people, it'll change everything about you. You'll start loving one another. You'll start loving your family. You'll start loving your spouse's cooking. Even though they burn the bacon, you're going to say, it's good bacon. Because you love them. Because they may get it right the next time. But you sit down there and say, you're always burning the bacon. Well, she may never make you bacon again. Be nice. Be sweet. Because I'm telling you what, love conquers all. Stand to our feet today. Would you lift up your voice with me? Come on, there's things in your past. There's things you've gone through. That's been tough. But I'm praying today that we'd let it go. I'm praying today that we'd get a hold of this thing called love. We'd understand God's love for us. And we would embrace it. Hallelujah, God. Help us to love the way you love. Help us to give mercy the way you've given mercy to us. Help us to forgive the way you've forgiven us. Help us, God, to break chains. Chains of the past. Chains of hurt. Chains of pain. Help us love one another. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I think it'd be good this morning because we need to show love to one another. And we need to love everybody. I think it'd be good for every one of us to step out from our pew and line up this front, hands raised, making declarations, saying, Lord, I'm going to start loving the way you love. I'm going to start being more like you. I'm going to start doing what you've called me to do. I'm going to love God. Help me love God. Help me let go of those past hurts. Let me let go of those past wounds. Let me let go of those past words. Let me let go of abuse. And let me pick up love. Help me to love the way you love. Help me to show mercy the way you show mercy. Help me break the chains of family and friends by showing them love. Come on, slip your arm around another. Won't we pray for one another? Why don't we show love one to another? Why don't we pray, God, help us,
Lord, I'll say
to admit the love that you've given to us.
Lord,
come on, today's a new day.
My desire.
Hallelujah.
Passionate.
I want to know you, God.
Is to do
I want to know you, God.
What you've called.
I want to know you, God. Hallelujah.
I will be what you
come on. This is a new day for you. This is freedom for you.
I'll say
freedom reigns in love. Freedom starts in love.
Lord, I agree. My desire.
Hallelujah. I love you. I love you, God.
To be what you've called me to be.
Yes.
I will do what you've called me to do.
I love you.
I'll say yes.
I love you today. Come on.
Lord,
you can eradicate the past by picking up love. You can have a new beginning by love. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, is that you love one another.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I love you today, God.
I'll say yes.
Thank you for loving me.
Lord,
thank you for showing me mercy.
My desire.
I bless you today.
Passionately is to be do what you've called me to do.
Hallelujah.
I will be what you've called me to be.
I want to love God.
I'll say yes.
I want to love God. I want to love the way you love.
Lord, I agree.
I love you, Jesus.
My desire. Shataya passionately is to be what you've called me to be.
To be.
That's what I'll be.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You'll never go wrong in loving. You never will. Love will eradicate a lot of stuff. And again, it's not always easy to love, but it's always right. Because you will face times. Bible says you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. He's talking about the church. Church people hurting church people. Because hurting people hurt others. But you're going to break that. I'm going to love you. I'm going to pray for you. You talk about my mama. You talk about Brother Miller. I'm going to pray for you. Because I love Brother Miller. And now some of you need to fight out. Stick up for one another. You know what? We'll talk about my boy. He's a good boy. We'll talk about Brother Roy. He came over my house and clipped my palm trees. He's a good guy. Lift up one another. Let brotherly love continue. Bible talks about loving those. But how much more of the household of faith? If you love anybody, you ought to love everybody in here. There ought to be no discord, no disunity, no drama in the house of God. Let drama happen out there, but not in the church. Amen. Anybody believe that? Clap your hands unto the Lord. Amen. I love every one of you. God bless you. Make sure you're here tonight. Pastor Sean Mazzano will be here 6:00. Invite somebody to the house of the Lord. God bless you. You're dismissed.